Blog Talk Radio.
Preparing me for something. And you know he's preparing me because he cares. He is maturing me. Yes, he is. Because he cares. Hallelujah. And you know what? The Lord is arranging me. Yes, he is. And not only arranging, but he rearranged my attitude.
Yeah.
welcome to Spirit Alive Network, God's Great Love for Us, with Lester and Vanessa Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing how the Word of God is challenged in our everyday life. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. We praise you, we magnify you, we lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for us to live a more than abundant life, God. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent to dwell within all of us so that we could stand confidently in your presence, knowing that we have become your righteousness through the sin that your Son, Jesus Christ, removed from us and covered with his perfect blood. Father, I thank you for the word of God, your word that you place within us, that you've given us to cleanse us, to strengthen us, to direct us, to empower us, to improve us. Father, I thank you for you being the one who gets all of the glory from us directing the world to a knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, as their master so that they can come in relationship with you. Father, I thank you for all of your goodness. I thank you for all of the saints, the Spirit Alive saints in South Korea, in Japan, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Brazil, in Australia, in Botswana, in Zambia, in Cameroon, in Saudi Arabia, in India, in Thailand, in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Russia, in Romania, in Italy, in Spain, in France, in Ireland, in Finland, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Poland, in Hungary, in Norway, in Latvia, and in Fiji. Father, I thank you for you blessing them mightily tonight, God. Father, I thank you for you empowering them with the truth that they can share with someone else tonight as a result of the discussion and dialogue that we're going to have this evening. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, we're going to be discussing how the Word of God is challenged in our everyday life. Everybody's phone is going to, microphone is going to be unmuted, and you are going to be able to participate openly and freely in this evening's discussion, which is going to be led by Pastor Vanessa Carver. So, Pastor Carver, it's all you.
Thank you, Bishop Carver. So this is a topic near and dear to my heart. Many times God brought to my attention, well, he brought to my attention recently about how when we receive the word that it will be challenged in our practical everyday life. And it will be obvious once we start paying attention to certain things that this is a strategy that the enemy uses. But Jesus knew this was going to happen, and he talked about it with the parable of the sower and the four soils. And that's where I'm going to come from as we begin to talk about this and discuss what happens. If you go to, and I just want you to read along with me, keep a bookmark in these areas, Matthew 13, verses 3 through 8, as well as Matthew 18 to the 23rd verse of this same chapter, 4, 3 through 8, as well as Mark 4, verses 14 through 20. And then Luke 8, 5, verse 5 through 8. So the parable of the sower and the four soils is, like I said, Jesus used this parable to illustrate how people react to the Word of God. And so when I say challenged by the Word of God, it's just like somebody trying to, or something trying to take something away from you. That's what I mean by challenge. It's going to challenge you as it pertains to your believing. It's going to challenge you to, you know, can you practically use what you just heard? You know, is it real or is it just theory for you? And many times when things are imparted to us, when we're being taught, we read the word and study the word, it brings us strength spiritually, and sometimes even emotionally and mentally. We get strength because we become more confident and we become more sure about what we believe. And this is why it tells us to study the word. But when actions have to be, when the word has to be put in foot. It has to be done and practiced. That's when the word will be challenged. That's when you'll find out the disposition of your heart. That's when you'll find out about your level of discernment. That's when you'll find out about, are you distracted? That's when you find out about whether you believe or whether your belief is small or non-existent, or is it just theory? One of the things that I learned even on my regular job is that we had to be trained for months and months and months before we actually could operate in our position. And the level of study, the level of information was incredible. And we, it's part of my job that we go through seasons. That is a part of my job where we have to be trained constantly because of different things changing constantly. So we have to be trained over and over again, sometimes repetitively about the same thing. And it gets a little annoying. But one thing I realize is that until we use it, it's theory. And so there's no way you can grasp all the things that we learn that they have to teach us, but they have to teach it nevertheless. And sometimes some things are so antiquated that they change by the time we have to use it. So I just want to use that to let you know that when you study the word and you're a student of the word and you study and you meditate on the word and everything, until you really use it, it's just theory. And it'll feel like that, especially when you get challenged. So let's go to the first one I'm going to go through. And please, Bishop Carr, if you want to jump in at any time when something is said or if it, you know, makes you want to comment, please comment. But I'm and anyone else, too, as well. Matthew 13, I'm going to go to Matthew 13. I'm going to be reading from the ESV, 13. Verses, like I said, 3-8, and I'll just start there. Okay. 3-8. Okay. So it starts here about the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell up among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, and some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. A summary of this parable says, to begin, Jesus tells us about a person who is sowing a seed, and the seed ends up falling on four different types of soil: on the path where people walk, on rocky ground, on soil already filled with plants having thorns, and then on good soil. These seeds have different fates, different destinies. The seed on the path is eaten by birds. That which fell on rocky ground does grow, but it grows too fast and is scorched when the sun comes up because the root is too shallow. The seed that falls on the soil with thorns also grows, but the thorns choke it and it dies. Only the seed that falls on the good soil survives, and it produces grain up to 100-fold. See, God wants us to be fruitful with the word that is planted in our hearts. But once again, this soil represents our reaction to the word of God and what happens. After Jesus tells this story, Jesus' disciples ask him why he speaks in parables. And Jesus explains why, and he explains the meaning of the parable of the sower and the four soils. And the seed represents the word of God, and the four soils represents different ways that people react to God's word. The seed on the path is what I'm going to talk about right now, and I'm going to also read 18 through 23 because I want you to hear what the word says in that same chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. This is Jesus speaking. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart, because he doesn't have understanding. This is what was sown along the path. And as for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and receives it with joy immediately, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of that word, immediately he falls away. And as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, proves unfruitful. And as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another case 60, and in another 30. So we want to be, our reaction should be that of good soil. The word comes and we want our life and how we receive it, because we have understanding, to be received with understanding so that the word can be fruitful in our lives. See, the seed sown on the path and eaten by birds represents anyone who hears the word, they don't understand, like I said, in the word, and therefore it's snatched from their hearts because they don't have understanding. And that's why it's so important to teach. That's why it's so important to have good teachers. Bishop Carver, do you want to comment on what I've said so far, especially on this part where it says eaten by birds because there's no understanding?
Yes, yes, absolutely, because see, people oftentimes mistake knowledge for wisdom, and they mistake wisdom for understanding. And what they need to know is that knowledge of the Word of God is exactly that. It's knowledge. It is what you need to know. And when you get to the point where you believe what you know, it goes from being intellectual knowledge to being spiritual knowledge. And the Holy Spirit helps you process that knowledge. See, the Holy Spirit is your root. You are connected to God. And so in order to be seated in the heavenlies in Christ, you must be engaged in the heavenlies. In order to be engaged in the heavenlies, you must have an active prayer life, praying in the spirit and praying with your understanding. You must have an active study life where you study the word of God and you diligently seek a knowledge of God and his word. Because when we study God's word, we hear the heart of God. We understand what God has done. We understand what God is doing. We understand what God will do in the future. And see, here's the thing, is knowledge of God's word is just that. It's knowledge of God's word. But when we know it to the extent that we believe it, to the extent that we do it, when we do what we know, it's no longer just knowledge. It is wisdom. Wisdom is the application of the knowledge that you receive. When you have knowledge, then you know that it's not going to stop there. And so many Christians get stuck in that place where a knowledge of God becomes an idol, because the word says knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge actually is a way to the path of pride. And we understand that pride is something that separates us from God. pride is something that sets us against the purposes of God. And so when we begin to know and study God's word with understanding, we apply that word with wisdom. And when you repeatedly apply the word of God, you are using the knowledge and it is becoming wisdom. And when you repeatedly apply the word of God, you do God's things God's way according to the instruction in his word, in humble submission to the word, you magnify God's word the same way God magnified his word above his name. And as you do these things repeatedly, your understanding grows because you begin to understand why God is telling you to do what he's telling you to do, the way he's telling you to do it, and you're beginning to see the benefits of obedience and submission to God and his word. So one of the things that we all have to deal with in our life is if we want a fruitful Christian life, if we want a life that's going to produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, we're going to have to intentionally begin to make ourselves available to the Word of God so that we can know what to do, so that we can do what we know, so that we can repeatedly do what we know, so that we understand why we are doing what we're doing, and then be able to teach others how to benefit from obeying the word of God and living a more than abundant life spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. So, Pastor Carver, this is what I get from this. And one of the main things that I see as it pertains to our regular daily life is tribulation and persecution can strip the word from us when we have no root. And we know that what roots the word in us is love. The love of God roots the word in us, and it gives us a type of permanence and understanding so that we can do what it says in Romans chapter 5, where it tells us that God's way of getting us more patience, experience, and hope is through tribulation. So we can mature to the point spiritually where we begin to glory in tribulation instead of rejecting the assignment, instead of rejecting the power of the word that says that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, and with every temptation makes a way of escape, as it says in Corinthians. So we have to stand on these promises in the word of God in a very real way that allows us to apply them to any situation in our life, knowing that God has already given us the victory. So that's what I get from this, Pastor Carver.
Yeah, that was good. I think that we need to understand that we need to know ourselves. We need to know how we process the word, like you were saying, your knowledge base. Like you're saying, what Ruth said is love, to know that it says in 1 Corinthians, it says we have all these things, and knowledge is one of them, but if we have not love, you know, it's nothing. It gains us nothing. It's vainglorious. And so when I read this specifically about the part about eaten by the birds, because there's no lack of understanding, I think of the scripture that says, with all that getting, get an understanding. And when we listen, when we learn to listen, you know, Jesus even said in Luke 18 said, be careful, therefore, how you listen, which means anyone can understand as long as they listen carefully and focus. And so it is important to study the word. Talk to God while you're studying the word. Like you're saying, have these fruitful, I call them sacred disciplines that are never going to go away. There will be times that you won't feel like doing them, but you need to do them because they're going to produce more better fruit, more multiple fruit, more good, solid, consistent fruit in you, in your life. You're not doing it to check a box. You're not doing it to be seen. You're doing it because, first of all, it's what the word says. And second of all, there's going to be some productivity here. The word's going to be fruitful in your life. So thank you for that commentary. I think it's really important for us to understand if we have the desire to understand the word, know and understand it, to do it, and to understand there's all these. Some of this stuff will just come naturally to us because our intent is to please God, to be used by God, and for him to get the glory in it all. But I also want to read. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I think I was on mute that entire time.
I heard you.
You did hear me on the program?
Yeah, I did the whole time.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. On the program. But I also wanted to mention about seed on rocky ground now. The seed that falls on the rocky ground represents someone who hears the word of God. They receive it with joy immediately. However, they have no root or foundation, so they don't last very long. Like the word just kind of doesn't really take root. Jesus says when oppression or persecution comes, which you did mention, because of the word. See, a lot of times I like the connection, because of the word, which is why I pray the word's going to be challenged. There's things that we get an understanding of and we are exposed to and how the word is presented, and immediately persecution comes and tribulation comes right after that. And sometimes people think it's because of the suffering and everything. Remember and take account of what word you just got. And the attack usually will match what the word was. I kid you not. If you're paying attention, immediately after you hear a good sermon or you just got done studying something or God gave you great revelation or whatever the case may be, but it's rooted in the word, and then there's an attack coming. You almost got to be ready for it. But just keep in mind, it is coming because of the word that just was received. So, for instance, yesterday, Apostle Zeta taught about the fruits of the Spirit. And there are self-control, love, joy, right? All the I'm not going to name them all, but in all those areas, you can almost bet better. You better believe, especially when you receive the word immediately, and you understood it, that the attack is going to come, like it says, the rocky ground. So we need to be aware and understand that the strategy that comes because of the word immediately. There's a stumbling that happens. The stresses of life. But I think those attacks, and anybody can chime in, please feel free, that there are specific attacks that you get because of the word that you just received. Somebody may have given you a prophetic word over you, some exhortation, edification, and comfort could have came
Pastor
to you.
Calvin,
yes.
There's something that I know is something that impacts me as a business owner. Is you can be so engaged with the purposes of God that one of the fiery darts of the devil is the deceitfulness of riches and opportunity, what you think is on the horizon, and it's like the devil just dangling this bait out in front of you and taking your distraction from off of the things of God, off of God, and you go chasing after the deceitfulness of riches, and you begin exerting all of your energy chasing money, and what you find is all of your knowledge, all of your cultivation of the word of God in your life is becoming unfruitful because now you have a split allegiance. You're trying to serve money and serve God. And God says you have to choose. And people don't want to hear that because they have made money such a god in their life, and money is a god in the world. And people are so accustomed to serving money that they will defend it to a hilt. They'll defend it more than they'll defend the cross of Christ. And so we don't want the deceitfulness of riches to choke the life of the word out of our life and make it to become unfruitful. Now, here's the thing. As Christians, we ought to know what the fruit of the Spirit are. love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control should define who we are. And I'll tell you that myself, if I am being pushed to the limit, if I am under stress and under strain, I can hear myself going in the wrong direction. I can hear that love and joy and peace becoming unfruitful because it is, there's a need to be able to control your mouth. And if something extreme happens to you, your reaction to what happens needs to be rejoicing in tribulation, needs to be prayer, needs to be praise, needs to be speaking the word over your situation instead of cursing your situation. And that's why God tells us to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us. That's with your mouth. People are cursing you. You don't curse them as it was the case in the Old Testament before Christ. If people are cursing you now, you bless them with your mouth now. You do good to those who persecute you, and you pray for those who despitefully use you. And when you are in that place of pleasing God, doing God's things God's way, going the extra mile, turning the other cheek, you are empowering yourself to be in a situation where the devil cannot take from you anything you're not already prepared to give, because you're acknowledging that God gave you everything when he gave you his son, Jesus Christ. And your trust and your confidence in the promises of God has put you in a place where you are untouchable. You are spiritually untouchable. And so what we want to do is not be in this place where the word can be snatched away because we have a stony heart of unbelief and unforgiveness, mostly unforgiveness. See, it's the stones that make it impossible for those seed to take root, so that you can have knowledge of the word, but you won't apply that word. You won't do that word because you can't get past the stony places in your heart. And so God tells us, he says, hey, you know what? You need to forgive. And if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you because I have already paid the price to forgive all of your sin. And if you receive that truly, then you are going to be prepared to forgive anyone else or anything else because you understand the magnitude of what I've forgiven you for. And so that's how we move out of the way of being in that category of those who received, whose seed was by the wayside, who was in that stony place. And so we don't want to hear the word, receive it with joy, and not have any root. But see, the root of love, see, love is shed abroad in our heart. And that love gives us hope. And hope makes us not ashamed. We are not disappointed in our expectations of the word of God. We expect the word of God to produce exactly what God said it was going to produce. And according to our faith, some will receive 100-fold, some will receive 60-fold, some will receive 30-fold. But see, it is always more than enough. It is always abundant increase and beyond what was sown, beyond the seed itself. Don't let the deceitful riches of the world choke the life of the word out of us, because I tell you, religion will jump up and down and clap all day about money. And you'll be going in the wrong direction, off the road, and no one will say anything because they're looking at the cash and the glitz and all that, and they're not looking at that object you're about to hit full speed, right? So we want to be able to encourage one another to walk this thing out, to live it in our daily life, so that we can rejoice in tribulation and do it deliberately. Pastor Carver?
I also want to mention about the cares of the world. You mentioned money, which is a big one. But I think when you think about the cares of the world, I think about culture, the things that are what everybody is focusing on, so in social media, for instance, or on the news or in your neighborhood or in your city, and certain things we shouldn't be focusing on. These will choke out the word. The power that the word has in itself will be taken away. If we were gaining some level of understanding, you'd be surprised how when we get excited because we do understand, and then all this stuff happens and it begins to choke out the value of the word. That's what I see when that word choke makes me think about, okay, what is being choked out of you? You know, for me, I would think about the power of the word in itself, that it encapsulates so many things. It is active and alive, and your faith goes along down the drain with that, because you don't have faith and you don't believe because your understanding is being challenged or whatever the case may be because of money, like Bishop Carver said, but also the cares of this life. Socially, there's so, you name it. It's like, should we be focusing on these things? Should this, what about what the word says? And after a while, the word becomes smaller and smaller and smaller as it pertains to how we process what we're looking at. And our level of discernment is just like zero. And so when I think of that, Bishop Carver talked about the riches. I think about the cares of this world. We cannot allow culture to infiltrate the power of the word, especially when we have received it with joy, when we have understanding, and it can be, it says, and then, you know, of course, it talks about persecution and tribulation, but many times what ushers in persecution and tribulation is culture, and we have to be careful of that. So I do want to also talk about, we talked about the thorns, but then that last one is good ground. So we can talk a little bit about that. The seed that falls on good soil represents, this is he who hears the word and understands it and is assuredly bears fruit. This situation is a perfect example of someone who, for whoever has, to him will be given, for whoever has. Thankfully, because God has given us free will, we're able to choose what kind of soil we are. If we do not understand something, we can pursue understanding until we do. We can research, ask questions, pray about it, listen and learn. As for this parable of the sower and four soils, only seed that produces fruit is considered to have fallen on good soil. So if the word of God does not produce fruit in our lives, then our hearts are not fertile soil for God's word. And this is because our actions reveal the truth about what we truly believe, is what, which I said earlier in the beginning. Is it will challenge what you truly believe. But let's talk about the good soil. Be intentional about when you study the word and pray the word, and like my husband said, about just studying it with intent and pray because you're going to do it, because you're going to have understanding that you're going to use. At the same time, knowing that you're going to be challenged about that word. Jesus said this. It came straight from him about what will happen based upon how you receive the word. If you are in a place where you're being distracted because of money and you're trying to pursue money, check that. Just like the I also mentioned, if you don't have understanding, get in a place where you can get understanding. If you are being challenged by what you believe or what's in your heart, if you're being dictated by culture and social and things that you're focusing on, get your focus together. Don't focus on those things. Live above the noise, because the word, the enemy is coming for the word. He's coming for what it represents and who it represents more than anything. And so that even takes away from our power and our authority when we don't allow that word to be what it's meant to be in our lives, to be powerful and active and alive. And so that good soil, make it your business when you are in Bible study, or when you have private Bible study, or when you do corporate Bible study, or when you are by yourself, however it is that you study the word, when you study the word, that God give you fruitful understanding that you can use and be ready for the fight, knowing that at times all he's telling you to do is stand and he will fight for you, but you have to protect the word. Be on guard duty with certain words that God gives you as well. And that lets you know that you are going to bear good fruit. You're going to bear fruit. You really are. You say, I'm going to bear fruit from what I'm hearing today. I'm going to learn and I'm going to seek understanding. And that understanding will produce more faith. Bishop Carver or anyone else, please chime in if you would like to add to the good soil scenario.
I'll tell you that. One of the things that makes good soil good is that if you are cultivating ground, cultivating spiritually would be your prayer life, your study of the word, your fellowship with like-minded believers, your forgiveness. It's removing the stones from your heart and those places of unforgiveness. You're removing those from your heart. When I was working on a farm as a teenager, we would clear the field of all the stone at the beginning of the planting season. And you'd have to walk the whole field and pick up all the field stone and put them in a pile because they would not only damage the equipment, the farming equipment, they would be taking up space that seed could be planted. And see, it would literally be there in the way of a seed taking root so that that seed would spring up, it would germinate, and then it gets to the stone and the root wouldn't be able to pass into the ground any further. So it would wither and die, as it says here, right? That's why we want to remove the stony places from our heart. And it's not just forgiveness, unforgiveness. It's bitterness. It's wrath. It's jealousy. It's envy. All of those things that are unlike the Spirit of God within us. And so people have a way of legitimizing things that are contrary to the character of God. So even though we might think we have a good reason, acting out in wrath is not appropriate. Acting out in anger is not appropriate. Acting out in jealousy is not appropriate. These things are in the way of the space that God wants to have his seed planted in our heart. And his word is intended to be fruitful in our life. My son and I were having an interesting discussion about how difficult it is these days to find fruit with seeds in it. Now, this is something other than what we're talking about tonight as it pertains to the word and seed and then the fruit that comes from the seed. We're talking about something that looks like fruit that has a portion of the potential nutrients in it and no seed, no ability to reproduce itself. And that is what the world is offering people. And it looks like fruit. But fruit, if you go back to Genesis, it says the seed-bearing fruit. That's what God designed. What man has designed is fruit without seed, which cannot produce itself. It is a dead end, and it lacks nourishment. That's what the world is offering you. And that's the deceitfulness of riches. So
good analogy. You're kicking butt on that. That is amazing. That is, you know, as one who sees, you know, as God, you know, there's so many analogies in life, and usually that is a great one based on what we're talking, and it is very much connected to the intent of the word. It is meant to produce. And when you see culture, remember I was talking about how culture, that was a powerful analogy about things these days don't have seeds in it. And you know how a lot of times they take seeds out of things because it's convenient for the person who is partaking, consuming the fruit. No seeds, seedless this and seedless that. And at one point I was like, oh, that's great. I'm buying the seedless this because I don't want to be spitting out seeds, right? But when you think about it and how God designed that fruit, that's God's design. Every time we look at fruit, that's just one example of his order. Things were meant to have seeds in them to reproduce. That's order. That is speaking volumes just based on what we're saying, his order and his intent. And we as people, please finish your thought, but I had to say something because I think that's so powerful because it's like I could think about that for days, just about that very analogy. I'm sorry if I interrupted you, but you can finish your thought on that.
No. Let the spirit flow because, see, what's happening is the world is selling something that not only lacks nutrition, but does not heal. What we're discovering is that the seed that we used to spit out, those seeds actually have healing properties. So we have to become more knowledgeable of the things that God designed so that we can live a more than abundant life spiritually for spiritually first, because none of this matters if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit within you by submitting to God's Son, Jesus Christ, as your master. Everything else is not applicable to you. But if you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and your master, then you can live a more than abundant life spiritually. Then you can live a more than abundant life mentally because you can receive the promises in the Word of God and then do them and obey them and profit from them so that you can live a more than abundant life emotionally and begin to control your natural sinful impulses of jealousy, envy, rage, anger, unforgiveness, fear, doubt, worry, unbelief, all those things that make you a slave. You can be free from that, and all of a sudden, the physical manifestations of all that negativity begin to subside, and the ulcers are gone, and the headaches are gone, and the night sweats are gone, and the nervousness is gone, and the stammering is gone, all that stuff gone. Your blood pressure comes down because now you can actually employ love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control in your life to your own benefit. And then lastly, because all of a sudden your EQ just rises up and matches your IQ, now you can live a more than abundant life financially, right? But everybody wants to chase money, and they're finding nothing but grief and nothing but pain and nothing but nonsense and disappointment because money is a fake god. In Psalm, God says that money is a god that has eyes but can't see, ears but can't hear, a mouth but can't speak, a nose but can't smell, a mouth but can't taste. It's a dead, useless, stupid god. And money, silver, gold, all that stuff. And it says those who serve that God are like them. Deaf, dumb, blind, and mute. And see, we have to get to the point where we understand that the God that you serve, your spiritual father, is the one who you will emulate in life. And so you're going to produce which you come from. And so spiritually, if you want to know what you're following, look at the life of the person that is leading you to whatever you're allowing them to lead you to. And I wouldn't follow anybody who's not following Christ. That's my...
Can I mention something about the seeds?
Mm-hmm.
Since you got me on this thing about the seeds, because I'm still thinking about what you said about the seeds and the fruit. Our son also has a procedure that he learned, a process that he learned how to, even when you take the seeds, to see which ones are good. Because when he finds seeds in certain fruits and vegetables, he does this experiment where he puts all the seeds, all types of seeds in the waters, in a cup of water, and whichever ones float to the top are not good. And you would never think by looking at a seed, oh, that's a good seed. He said, some of them aren't good. And he said, it's usually because, and I asked him today, I said, well, why aren't they good? How do you know they're not good? He said, they're usually engineered with something. They're designed to look like seeds, but they're not. You put them in the ground, nothing happens. And I'm like, oh, my God. So this diabolical plan that we see before our eyes is coming against the order of God and how he designed things. And so when we talk about the word and all those and how Jesus used this parable in itself, I want you, whoever is on the line today, to ask yourself these questions as you study your word. If God's word contradicts what someone currently believes, then on what foundation are they basing their beliefs? Is your heart receptive to God's word? Does it produce fruit in your life? Would you be willing to change? This is a good one. Would you be willing to change what you believe if you discovered that God's word says otherwise? Now, I know that Bishop Cook has a lot, not Bishop Cook, but Bishop Carver has a lot to say about people changing their beliefs and the reason for their allegiance to error and lies. And usually it's because of some kind of emotional thing. But would you be willing to change what you believe if you discovered that God's word didn't say what you believe? And this is how, and if Bishop Carver would like me to close with prayer, I can. But I just wanted to also pose those questions. And is there anyone else in the room, chat room, that would like to add something? Bishop Carver, do you want me to close with prayer, or do you want to?
I think closing with prayer would be appropriate.
Okay.
And I'll close this out with a song afterwards.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for the opportunity for making you big based upon the lesson about the word and how we react to it. And how we live our lives. Father God, I thank you for this word being fruitful, that it will be poured in to people that have an ear to hear your word all over the globe. I thank you, Lord, today for strength and power and might to be able to execute and use the word that we are studying. Many of us are maybe in a course of study about certain scriptures you've led us to, our daily devotions, the things that open up our mind and our understanding to your leading. So I thank you, Lord, that that be fruitful today. And in times of persecution and great pressure and great distraction, Father God, show yourself strong in our places of weakness. Lord, bring to attention to us where we need to be stronger in, be more regimented, Father God, and be more purposeful and intentional about the word that we believe, and get in a place and be humble enough to keep learning, to be teachable about the word. Thank you, Father God, today, for I just feel your love. I thank you for the spirit of revelation that also was in this today's lesson, and I just bless and thank you, Lord, today, that those who heard will be blessed and feel your presence as well in a place of peace. Keep speaking, Lord. Keep expounding upon your word in their hearts as they are more receptive to you, and draw us closer to your perfect plan every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. And from Spirit Alive Network and God's great love for us, with Lester and Vanessa Carver, be ye transformed.
If my people who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways.
Hallelujah.